Normally, on nights we have deacon ordination, we take a few minutes to talk about the office of a deacon, and we want to do that tonight. Although, I think the last time or two we've done this, we have taken the opportunity to go through the various qualifications listed in the scripture. And I decided I wasn't going to repeat that or do that again tonight because I just preached a series of messages this past fall on the structure and the function of New Testament church leadership. So we covered that all there. But there is a part of those, that discussion that I want to return to tonight, just as a little reminder here, and talk about more or less the function of deacons within the structure of the church. So, we use the term role, the deacon's role in leadership. So let's just take a quick look at that. The term deacon is the basic point at which we begin to understand and determine what the role of a deacon is. Now, the term itself, deacon, is more or less, I guess you would call it a transliteration of the Greek. We've become used to using the word, so we think of it as an English word, but really, deacon comes straight from the Greek, diakonos. And its meaning in the Greek provides us an understanding of what the office is, at least in general terms, a general description. And, of course, the word deacon means servant in the broadest sense. We see the word used in 1 Timothy 3:8 when it begins to talk about the qualifications of a deacon. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, and so on and so forth. We're not focusing on those qualifications so much tonight, but just simply note, when you see that word in a verse such as 1 Timothy 3:8, it's giving you a broad general concept of one who serves. Now, that's not any different than what would be true even of others such as pastors, elders, whatever the term may be, even just individuals in the congregation. We're all servants, but some serve in a leadership capacity. And this is something that kind of confuses a lot of writers and a lot of Bible teachers and so on. And we'll get into that in just a moment. The second thing we want to note here about the role of leadership for deacons has to do with the number of deacons, and there is no set number. The number that there may be in a local congregation would be determined by the need or the needs that those deacons would be expected to address. Now, what was the overriding need in the New Testament church in Jerusalem? We all know that. The administration or the function, you might say, of meeting the needs of the widows that had come into the church from Judaism that no longer had their, up to that point, traditional structures of support. Please do not confuse that historical reality with being some sort of biblical mandate as to what it is that a deacon does. For example, I picked up a booklet written by someone who did a very good job. It was all about deacons and elders, and I skimmed through it, and I go say, yeah, he's right there. That's good. He said, yeah, that great job. And he gets down to deacons, and he says, well, you know, the deacon's role is to take care of the people that are poor, distribute to their needs and so on. Well, that is not their primary role. That is the historical need that they applied their role to, or that led to their beginning in Acts chapter 6. If that was to be the role of deacons in general, or biblically mandated to be so, then our deacons wouldn't have a whole lot to do in this congregation. Now, I'm not saying that we never have needs arise, but there wouldn't be a whole lot of that going on. But in Jerusalem, that was an everyday thing. That was a huge challenge. So they decided, by the way, who took care of the widows before the deacons? The apostles, which equates with elders. So basically the pastoral role was overseeing that ministry, and it was interfering with their teaching and time for prayer and so forth, and that's where the deacons come in as a what you might call another level of management. So in Acts 6 it says, "Therefore, brethren," the apostle said, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation." Where did the seven come from? Well, that's the perfect number, right? I don't know why they chose seven exactly, but they thought, other than they felt like seven was enough to handle the job. Somebody just had to decide. Is it going to be seven? Going to be eight? Going to be ten? They said seven. I don't think there's anything beyond that going on here. "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Now, there we have the apostles touching on the qualifications of people to serve in this capacity. Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, specified more in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3, and Titus, and so on. So, again, the role of a deacon, servant, by designation of the very word. The number required is determined by the need that exists. And then C, and here's where we're really getting down to the meat of it. Deacons have specific leadership functions. I know the word deacon means servant, but it means servant in this capacity of leading, or to serve by leading. By the way, what did Jesus say? The greatest among you will be what? The servant of all. A true leader is a servant. That doesn't mean he has no authority at all. Doesn't mean he has no influence. It doesn't mean that. But his focus, his function, his purpose is to serve the body, to meet the needs of the body. And the same it is with the deacons. Now, here's what I want you to take a look at. And think this through with me logically. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, a bishop must be. Now, remember, bishop is one of three New Testament words that is used to designate the office of what we commonly call the pastor or a pastor. There's the word bishop, which means overseer, leader in the sense of management, oversight. The word pastor is from the Greek word to shepherd. So you have the shepherding ministry, you have the oversight covered by those two words, and then you have the word or the term elder, which emphasizes spiritual maturity, among other things. So whenever you see elder, obviously there are cases in the New Testament where the word elder just refers to someone who's older. But when it's used in a technical sense, contextually, for church leadership, they can use the word elder, bishop, or pastor. And we see all three of the New Testament. And we, in some context, such as Acts chapter 20, for example, we see all three used in the same context to refer to the same men. So when we see 1 Timothy 3:2, it's talking about bishop, it's talking about the pastoral role. It's not talking about something above the pastor or some denominational office or something. I know there's denominations that have come up with all sorts of concoctions of leadership I know in the Catholic Church they have bishops and cardinals and everything else, I guess, but along the way. But we understand when you read the Bible, this is what you had. You have two basic leaders in the New Testament for the church. You have the pastoral role and the deacon role. Now, a bishop, then a pastor, part of his qualifications according to verse 4, is that he needs to be one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. Why? Paul adds, for if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? So the pastor's role, ruling. Now, we see that word rule and a lot of people cringe because they think of an autocratic, dictatorial, somebody just, you know, tells everybody else what to do. But the word in the Greek, the word translated rule in our English, in the Greek, means literally to precede or go before other people. And the picture is of the shepherd who leads the sheep. If you see a shepherd in a flock of sheep, the shepherd goes first, the sheep follow him. Now, you don't move cattle that way. That works entirely different with other types of animals. You know, you have to drive cattle, but you lead sheep. So a pastor doesn't get behind a congregation, you know, and beat them with a whip and move them where he wants at his own will, but he leads them like a gentle shepherd who leads them to the pastures where they can be fed and watered and all the rest. But that going in front, if you can go back a few years in your mind, those of you that are historians, you go back to Civil War days, the generals led from the front. You go to Pickett's charge, for example, in the Battle of Gettysburg. Where was Pickett? Up front. There were other generals in that charge, too. He's just the one we think of mostly. Now, there were generals that were in the back, too, the higher-up generals. But the basic, the brigadier generals, they're out there leading the men. So you think in that way. So a pastor is one who rules his own home. He's the head of the home, and he's going to have that leadership role in the church. So if a deacon, his only job is to, you know, pass out food or hand out, you know, what people need, you know, and that sort of thing, it's not that role. But yet, if you look down at verse 12 in 1 Timothy chapter 3 at the qualifications for a deacon, and lo and behold, what does it say? Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. Basically the same qualification for the pastor previously in that context. Why? Because deacons are going to be rulers in the church too. They don't rule on the same level as the pastor. Why? Go back to Acts 6. The apostles said, look, we've got more here to do than we can handle. We're going to focus on the preaching, the teaching of the word and prayer, and we're going to let the deacons come in and take oversight of certain ministries. Your corporations, businesses are organized that way. You go to work on Monday morning. If you work for somebody else, you work for a foreman or a supervisor. He's not the head of the company, but he has delegated authority to lead a particular aspect. So that's the way we need to think of deacons. Now, our deacons are assigned different things to oversee. I just got an email from Seth this afternoon about something he wanted to talk about involving the missionaries, which that's one of his assignments. So we're going to talk about that. Now, that's the kind of thing that we're trying to implement as much as possible. Now, obviously, in a smaller church, which we are a small church compared to Jerusalem back in Acts 6, obviously, deacons have to assist the pastor in areas such as overall preparing budgets and making decisions about finances and all. It doesn't mean that's the only thing deacons do. That's just one of their leadership responsibilities, because you don't want the pastor alone to make every decision like that. And the pastor alone, he don't want to make every financial decision for the church. You don't want to be in that position. So there's things of that nature. But it's a delegated responsibility. So we are thankful for those that willing to do this because it makes the church and the ministry and the work of the Lord function in so much more of a broader context than it ever could with one man or even a staff of pastors for that matter.